Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Well, thanks, Elaine, for reading that. I read this week about Barbara Coombs. Barbara Coombs is someone who's carried an extraordinary burden for the last few years, if the papers are to be believed. It's reported she went to Manchester Police this week to confess to killing her father a number of years ago. You may have seen the story. She was arrested and her father's bones were dug up in the garden of the house where he used to live. What a burden she must have carried for all those years. Did it just become so heavy that she had to break silence? She had to go and confess to what she'd done all those years ago. I guess the story will come out in the press in due course as it comes to trial. But each of us will have burdens we're carrying. And a burden, I guess, is something that is weighty, that bears down on us. I guess none of us, well, I hope none of us will have burdens the magnitude of Barbara Coombs. But nonetheless, it may be something we did years ago. It may be a crime that no one knows about, that brings us out in cold sweats in the night. Or perhaps the burden of caring for an elderly parent slipping into dementia, or equally concern for a child who's got some chronic medical condition that's causing us great concern and worry and anxiety. Now, some of the burdens that we carry will be obvious, known to friends and families, but others are private and personal, too personal maybe to share, too difficult, too embarrassing, too shameful to be shared. Or, like my mother used to say, we just don't want to bother anyone else with our burdens. Grit your teeth and carry on. Carry your burden, be stoical. Well, you may have noticed in the Bible reading we've just had these words, carry each other's burdens. And we're going to be thinking about what this means and what it looks like. Those of you who are regular here will remember that before Christmas we were looking at this letter, a letter of Paul, the Apostle Paul, to churches in Galatia. He had set the church up by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. People had come to put their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He had gone on to preach that gospel in other places. But he has had news that things aren't well back in the Galatian churches. They're going off the rails because some false teachers have come in and are teaching them a different gospel to the one they heard. And so he writes this corrective letter to correct both their belief and their behavior. And of course, the two are connected, belief and behavior. If I came and lived with you for a week and watched what you did and what you said, I could work out what you believe. Those two are intimately connected. And this part of the letter takes us to behavior. Now, it may be that we're not yet at someone who is trusting in Jesus, and this is a letter that is addressed to Christians. But if you're not yet trusting in Jesus, listen out, because it gives you insight into what the Christian life is like. It's why he addresses them in the beginning of chapter 6, verse 1, as brothers and sisters, for that is what we are in Christ. Brothers and sisters. This is who they are, not by blood, but by faith in Jesus. As we come to faith in Jesus, so we're united with everyone else who has faith in Jesus. They have a new family. We have a new family And we've been given God's Holy Spirit to help us live in this new family. Two very simple points he makes. They're on the back of the service sheet there. If you want to jot notes, do. But otherwise, just listen. Two simple points. Carry each other's burdens. Be good to all people. They're very simple, but they have far-reaching implications, which we're going to explore. Firstly, carry each other's burdens. Verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. There's three assumptions here that he's making. We all have burdens. We may not all have burdens at the same time, but in life we will all have burdens to carry. Secondly, it's God's intention that we should not carry those burdens on our own. And thirdly, those of us in Christ should know each other's burdens, or some of them, so that we can carry them. And as we do this, he says, verse 2, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Now we need to unpack what he means by fulfilling the law of Christ. If you cast your eyes across to the top, same page, chapter 5, verse 14. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The law of Christ is to love your neighbor, to love one another as Christ loves us. Maybe you are doing the supermarket shop and you're coming out of the supermarket and you see a very pregnant lady, with huge bags of shopping, and the children are running around. Actually, I didn't have you in mind when I put this down. But you think, you know, she's got her hands full. You see the children, the cars coming round. No, you go and say, can I help you? You see the burden she's got. Well, likewise, when we see someone with a heavy burden on their mind, in their life, we're to be ready to carry that burden with them. As Jesus loved us, so we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in verse 1, he gives an example of carrying a burden. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You may remember earlier in the letter, he has talked about the Galatians biting and devouring one another. They were acting in a hostile manner to one another. Clearly, there was anger between them. We don't know the context of all those things. There was jealousy, we're told. There was conceit. There were patterns, in other words, of sinful behavior contrary to God's express will. Now, caught in sin could be things like being led astray by the company of others, into debauched behavior. It could be getting caught up in sexual relationships, if we're married, outside marriage. It could be the pursuit of idols, those things which we pursue to the exclusion of all others. It may be ambition at work. It may be money. It may even be our families, where our children dictate our lives, that our lives rotate around them. We can make idols of our families. Or just clear sin, some foolishness or stupidity that we've been got ensnared in. Now, what do we do when we see a brother or sister in Christ caught up like that? You should, he says, verse 1, restore them, bring them back to Jesus Christ. That's the aim, getting them back on the right path. Not too quick to jump in as soon as we see something, but not too slow to do nothing. Now, I think our tendency is to do nothing. You see someone getting caught up in some sin, and you think, it's not none of my business. It's none of my business. I wouldn't dare say something. Now, we do this not out of concern for them, but actually out of concern and protection for ourselves. We don't like conflict. We suspect if we go to them, they'll react negatively. Or we justify saying nothing because we know that we are sinners. We're no better than them. Or maybe you think we're better than them and we look down on them in judgment and say, well, they're getting what they deserve. How foolish of them. It'll serve them right. We'd never do anything like that. It's very interesting thinking about this. There's nothing clearer in working out a legalistic mindset than when someone falls into trouble. Think, how do you react? Do you react self-righteously, thinking that you're better, without gentleness? Or perhaps you think, I'll leave it to others. I wouldn't know what to say. I know who I'll leave it to. I'll leave it to the minister. It's his job, after all. Now, I think this is an area of life together in Christ that we need to think really seriously about. All the reasons I've just mentioned are ones that I have heard. And as I shared them with you, you may find yourself nodding and thinking, yes, that's what I tend to do. But we want to be honest, don't we? None of them are concerned with restoring the person. None of them are fulfilling the law of Christ. None of them are behaving in a loving way. The reality is actually we're being unloving, not caring about the danger they are in if we say nothing. So what are we to do? Well, we're to restore them, verse 1, gently. We're to restore them gently. That involves softness of tone, thoughtful words full of grace and truth and love, prayerfully. And look at the caveat, watch yourself, you also may be tempted. We go towards them, don't we, very aware of our own sinfulness. We're one sinner to another, conscious that we don't speak as one who's got all things sorted. We too can and will have got caught in sin. But we go to them full of grace and the love of Jesus. Now, we might also think, I'm not spiritual enough. After all, it says, you who are spiritual. Well, if we're trusting in Jesus, we are spiritual. We have received God's Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's who he's addressing. Those who are spiritual, those who've received God's Holy Spirit as we come to faith in Jesus. This is something all of us are to help one another in. And there are those amongst us doing just that, praying for those caught up in sin, sending a text, making a meal, getting alongside, lovingly, helpingly restoring them to Jesus. But if this is not you, and you're aware of someone getting caught up in sin, a Christian getting into a bad place, don't leave it to others. Ask the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, to give you all the grace you need. Pray for gentleness, and most of all, for their restoration to Jesus, who forgives all our sins. And then speak, not as proud lawkeepers, but as humble servants. Then we are carrying one another's burdens. Then we're honouring Jesus. But carrying one another's burdens has a wider scope than just verse 1. Here's another problem. I think that it is that we don't actually know what one another's burdens are. We don't live in a community where we're seeing each other regularly in all the different contexts of our lives. When we meet like this on a Sunday, it can often be snatch conversations. They can often be quite superficial, not really dealing with the issues of the heart. So to know what our burdens are, we need to share them, to ask one another what they might be. I think the temptation sometimes is to be too proud to share them amongst ourselves as brothers and sisters. But if we share them, we can carry each other's burdens, and in so doing, bring glory to God. And look with me at verses 3 to 5. We're not to do this in any superior way, as if we're sorted people. Then he says, we'd actually be deceiving ourselves. All we have is given to us by Jesus. We have nothing of our own. So we're not to go around comparing ourselves with others. We are to test ourselves, he says. Test our own actions against ourselves. And we are responsible to God, and one day we'll give account to him. That is our load. You will have noticed as we've read through this, he speaks about a burden and a load. And it is not contradictory to say, carry each other's burdens in verse 2, and then verse 5, each one should carry their own load. That load is the things that we have been given that we will give account to God for at the end. It's a different word to burden. A burden is something that weighs us down. So there's no contradiction between the two. So he says, carry each other's burdens. It's a simple instruction, but boy, it's challenging, isn't it? To put this into practice, to apply it to our lives. But let's encourage one another, and in obedience to Jesus, out of love for him, grow in our love for one another. So a good question maybe over tea and coffee afterwards would be to say, what are your burdens presently? Or do you know what? I'm really burdened by this at the moment. To come alongside one another. carry each other's burdens. Secondly, be good to all, be good to all, verses 6 to 10. And these verses continue this theme of correction to the Galatians. Remember what precipitated this letter in the first place? That is false teachers coming in, misleading, and ultimately destroying the church. These false teachers weren't sowing the true word of God. They were saying a distorted word, one that was going to lead people away from Jesus, that was not of grace and all of Jesus, but of works, of what they needed to do. And what he's doing in this letter is putting them straight. He is, verse 6, their instructor. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, he's not saying this for selfish gain. He's not just wanting to get a fat wallet. Now, the language here is of sharing, of fellowship between the people, the one who is being instructed, and the instructor. He's not looking for a payment for a service rendered. Now, there's a rich fellowship, he says, a mutual sharing between people and pastor. You have set me aside to give myself as your pastor to prayerfully prepare and teach the word of God. And he's saying here, as I do this, so you share the good things, financial gifts you have to make this possible. There's no magic fund or sort of pot in the sky that provides the finances. All the finances that we have come from us. So if you're giving £500 a month, £50 a month, £20 a month, whatever it is, you're enabling this church to be pastorally cared for. And lots of you are doing that generously. And we want to grow the ministry team because the gospel opportunities we have are more than Ben and I can cope with. If we had 5 on the ministry team full time, because that's the nature of it. We are in a world where the needs are great around us. The opportunities are great to share the gospel. So carry on giving. I'm not asking those who are generous already, but if everyone who benefits from the ministry here were to give generously, then by the grace of God, we'd cover all our ministry commitments and multiply gospel teachers. And what we invest in will have consequences. We could give ourselves to all sorts of things here at Church of the Green, couldn't we? But a lot of those wouldn't have much to show for it at the end. But if we invest in spiritual priorities, then there will be a spiritual harvest. This is the principle that he speaks about in these verses. From verse 7 onwards. It's a universal principle all over the world. Verse 7, a man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. I know if I use old seed in my veggie patch, damp seed, seed that's out of date, in other words, poor seed, I can't expect a bumper harvest. I will only receive a poor harvest. Similarly, if I overeat or if I eat too much salt or eat too much fat, there are going to be consequences. I'll reap what I sow. I will die early from a heart condition, most likely. And this is true in the spiritual realm. If you give in to the sinful nature persistently, habitually, you will reap destruction. Sin leads to breakdown and breakup of relationships. Or we may limp along for a while, but in the end, it'll be destruction. Sin can never end in happiness. Of course, that's not what we believe. The pleasures of sin, the lie we're sold, that we'll never lose anything. But sin will never bring happiness or contentment or life. It can only bring destruction and death. That's what he says in verse 8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Now, that might be a wake-up call to some of us, where the reality for us maybe today is emptiness or lostness or darkness. The harvest is coming. It is inevitable. Sowing leads to reaping. But you know, what I love about the scriptures is that you get a stark warning like this, and right up alongside it, you get a promise, and you get that in verse 8. Because the other half of the sentence says, whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And what good news that is to read. What does it look like then to please the Spirit? Well, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Doing good, especially to this family. So, Church at the Green, brothers and sisters in Christ, he's got them in mind as he speaks to the Galatians, but brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world as well. Not to the exclusion of others, but starting here. Now, I think it is easy to lose heart in doing good. It's why he says, don't grow weary, keep at it, persevere. Why? Because the harvest will come. It's unstoppable. And we're to do good, he says, as we have opportunity. In other words, do good in word and deed as you become aware of needs around you. Don't wait for others. Don't think you're too busy. Don't think it's too costly. Otherwise, you'll do nothing. It will be costly. Giving out to others always is. But set before you Jesus, who gave himself for us. That was the cost he was willing to go to for us. Was he too busy? Was it too costly for him? No, he opens his arms wide and he invites us in these lovely words Jesus speaks in Matthew's Gospels, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. He is the burden carrier. He alone can give us rest. And he has adopted us into his family that we might bear his likeness by becoming burden carriers, loving each other as he has loved us, restoring those caught in sin, doing good to all, especially to the family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Then we'll bring honor to Jesus. We'll please his Spirit. And we will reap eternal life.